BBC World Service at 22 hours GMT. This is Oliver Conway with a special edition of World Briefing. Coming up, rebels pour into the Libyan capital, Tripoli, prompting celebrations. Is the end nigh for Colonel Gaddafi?
The freedom seekers are all over Tripoli. They are in downtown, they are in Jajura and everywhere, and they're all holding their places and they're all making sure that the city does not go into any revenge.
A government spokesman says loyalists will continue to fight, but the Libyan leader is willing to negotiate.
People are so scared of the revenge and hatred of the other side if they win. So let's suspend all military operations, all violence right now.
In the past few minutes, Colonel Gaddafi has called on tribesmen to help defend the capital. The rebels say his son has been captured. We have the latest from Tripoli. First, we go to the newsroom.
BBC News with Jerry Smith. The Libyan government has confirmed that the rebels have advanced into Tripoli. A government spokesman, Musa Ibrahim, told a news conference that they've been killing on a massive scale in the capital.
1,300 dead since 12 midday. It's 11 hours, not even 12 hours. 5,000 injured. Our hospitals cannot cope with such a disaster. The Red Cross is here in Tripoli. We are hoping they will be able to help us, but the security situation is quite difficult.
The rebels say hundreds of their fighters fought their way into Tripoli from the west. They were greeted by people lining the streets and waving rebel flags. In the rebel stronghold of Benghazi in the east, large crowds were celebrating what they believe is the imminent fall of Colonel Gaddafi's government. The rebel leadership says that the colonel's son, Saif al-Islam, has been captured. However, there's no independent confirmation, as Matthew Price reports.
At this stage, with several rumours circulating around about the arrest, possibly, of Colonel Gaddafi's son, Saif al-Islam, Saif Gaddafi, also rumours that Colonel Gaddafi's own private bodyguards have laid down their weapons, all of this unsubstantiated at the moment. I can't possibly confirm either of those two rumours. But certainly the tide is turning against Colonel Gaddafi tonight, and it looks at the moment like a fairly swift rebel advance.
Colonel Gaddafi has made a renewed call for the Libyan tribes to come to Tripoli to fight the rebels. In his second audio message of the day, Colonel Gaddafi made a direct appeal to towns around the capital to come to its defence. He warned the Libyan people that otherwise they would become what he called the servants of French occupiers and that British imperialism would return. World News from the BBC.
You're listening to the BBC World Service. I'm Oliver Conway with a special edition of World Briefing. Welcome to listeners who don't normally hear us at this time. We're bringing you the latest on the fast-moving events in Tripoli. Because after ruling Libya with an iron fist for nearly 42 years, Colonel Gaddafi's grip on power appears to be hanging by a thread tonight. Rebels have advanced into the capital, Tripoli, reportedly meeting little resistance and sparking celebrations. The head of the rebel transitional council has said that Colonel Gaddafi's son, Saif, has been captured. We'll hear from our correspondent in Tripoli in a moment, but first to the events of the day. And a short while ago, Rabbi Dehan, a spokesman for an anti-Gaddafi rebel brigade called Red Saraya, which is based about 40 miles south of Tripoli, said the rebels were on the verge of taking control of the capital.
The liberation of Tripoli has already not only begun, it is almost 90% done, because the job being done by the people inside of Tripoli is even bigger than the job that is going to be done by the people coming from outside, which is us. So we are mainly concerned about the security of Tripoli after the system falls, but it's just a matter of hours as we see it.
Well, shortly after we heard from Rabbi Dehan, my colleague Julian Marshall spoke to a resident in the west of the city, Hani, who'd witnessed the rebels come in.
At the sun down, at the sunset, the beginning of the freedom fighters came into Tripoli from the western entrance of Tripoli. A lot of them and now is going in. Now they just reached the heart of Tripoli, and a lot of cheering and chanting. People is living a overwhelming moment now in Tripoli.
So you say that these rebels have passed through the western districts and have headed now towards the centre of Tripoli. You know that? You've seen that?
Yeah, I've seen them myself.
And was there any resistance at all from government forces?
Maybe just at the beginning, at the first half an hour, then they just disappeared. No resistance at all now. No bloodshed. Nothing is happening now. They just they are like visitors now, not fighters.
A resident of Tripoli speaking to my colleague Julian Marshall. Well, other residents of Tripoli fled the rebel advance. Some stayed on, vowing to fight for, they say, their country. One rebel, Hisham, said there would be a fight, but residents had nothing to fear in the long term.
The freedom seekers are all over Tripoli. They are in downtown, they are in Jajoura and everywhere, and they're all holding their places and they're all making sure that the city does not go into any problems or any revenge. And as I said, it's going to go to the police and it's going to go to the law enforcement, basically. So will be no problems in the city, hopefully.
But there are differences of opinion. One person we spoke to earlier with the sound of gunfire in the background described the rebels as illegal groups and said they'd arrived in the eastern suburb of Tajura, supported by NATO.
There's a group who's a legal group. He is aware of the law and supporting by NATO. They have a cover from NATO. And they are bombing any place. And this kind of people, they forward. They have a good connection between NATO and this people. And they damage everything. They make Libya like a piece of cake. And everyone, he want to take his piece. Supporting by UK democracy. And supporting by France democracy. And United Nations, of course, our mother democracy.
Well, about an hour ago, the Libyan government spokesman Musa Ibrahim addressed foreign news correspondents in Tripoli. He said 1,300 people had been killed in the past 24 hours in the capital, turning, he said, a great city into hellfire, and he called for a ceasefire.
We are very resilient and still very strong, and we have still thousands and thousands of fighters who have no way to go but to fight. So this will increase and increase, and the death toll will increase because people are so scared of the revenge and hatred of the other side if they win. Each side actually is terrified of the other side. So let's suspend all military operations, all violence right now. NATO can order the rebels to stop immediately. We can order our troops and volunteers to stop immediately.
But where is Colonel Gaddafi? In an audio statement broadcast on national television earlier in the day, he insisted he wouldn't abandon the capital and would stay until the end. And he called on Libyans to defend the city.
Rise up! Rise up! I'm with you now! I'm with you in Tripoli! No retreat! Never! We will fight until we liberate the last inch of land and prevent it from being occupied. Don't allow the occupiers to progress in your country. I'm with you in this battle, as I've always promised you. We will never surrender. We will win. We will win because we have been wronged. It's an attack on our country, security, safety, our comfort.
And as we heard in the bulletin, Colonel Gaddafi later made a renewed call for Libyan tribes to come to Tripoli to fight against the rebels. Well, just before we came on air, I got the very latest from our correspondent, Matthew Price, in Tripoli.
From the vantage point that I'm at, which is a hotel about 5 miles or so to the south of Green Square, there have been very, very heavy clashes, very heavy fighting during the evening. For the last 2 or 3 hours, it's actually been relatively quiet. A burst of gunfire just now, the occasional explosion, but broadly that fighting that seemed to be intensifying around the streets close to the hotel now seems to have dissipated. Outside the front of the hotel, we have a checkpoint. It's a pro-Gaddafi checkpoint. On one or two occasions every now and then, one of the guys manning that checkpoint, another bullet just fired now, one of the guys manning that checkpoint is firing sporadically down the road. But in the distance, we've seen some fireworks. I have no idea what those are. There are still the sound of distant explosions, the sound of distant gunfire echoing across this city, but it's very hard to gauge exactly what's going on. The government information minister here has said that in the last 12 hours or so, there's been a death toll of 1,300 or so, which would be astonishing and tragic if it is indeed the case.
Now, the rebels are claiming that they've captured the son of Colonel Gaddafi, Saif al-Islam. How significant would that be?
I think it would be hugely significant, but I also think at the moment it is simply a rebel claim. There's been a lot of misinformation from both sides in this conflict, and I think we need to be very careful about that. But if that rumour is true, and if another one is true, and again, unsubstantiated, but another report coming out from various places that suggests that Colonel Gaddafi's private bodyguard have laid down their weapons, if those sort of things are indeed happening, and there's a big if that I want to attach to that, but if they are happening, then I think it's clear that the end is nearing.
And what are the rebels facing in Tripoli in terms of government troops and armaments?
Well, now, this is where we're going to get into a couple of possible scenarios, I think. At the moment, the general reporting seems to be that the rebels are moving into certainly the outer districts of Tripoli unopposed. And if that continues, then they are suggesting they might get into the heart of Tripoli, to Green Square at some point, in the next few hours, possibly even. If that was to happen, then I think it would either demonstrate that Colonel Gaddafi's troops have put down their weapons, or it would demonstrate that they might be about to be encircled, the rebels that is, and that the government forces could be on the verge of doing what they've done in other cities, surrounding them, and or those rebel elements that get into parts of the city, and firing at them from sniper positions and using mortars on them. Now, the official government figures that I was told today by Musa Ibrahim, the government spokesman, is that there are 65,000 professional, trained pro-Gaddafi troops in Tripoli at the moment, ready to defend the city. In addition to that, there are volunteers, the rebels call them mercenaries, who are also ready to take up weapons in order to defend the city. And the kind of scenario that Musa Ibrahim and other government officials are painting is one in which there's such a number of people in this city, tens of thousands, who are so intimately involved with the Gaddafi regime, who have been part of the system for so long, that they may well feel they have nothing to lose but to take up a weapon to defend themselves.
Matthew Price in Tripoli. So how did we get here? Well, the rebels are reported to have advanced on Tripoli in a convoy of around 100 vehicles, with onlookers firing celebratory gunfire into the air. That came just hours after they'd overrun a military base some 27 kilometres west of Tripoli. They helped themselves to the weapons there. Rupert Wingfield Hayes followed the rebels as they steadily advanced east from the town of Zawiya. He sent us this report.
In the burning summer sun, hundreds of rebel soldiers chant as they march down the road to Tripoli this morning. Spirits are high. Many say they believe Tripoli can be reached by nightfall. An hour later, there is wild jubilation as the rebels advance through the small town of Al-Maya, just 30 kilometres from the centre of Tripoli.
Hi guys, we are in Al-Maya city. In Al-Maya, it's quite 30 kilometres from Tripoli that we are waiting the people who are coming to make us freedom. We are in freedom, guys!
The rebels' momentum seems unstoppable. But a few hundred metres further on, we come under intense fire. The rebels are pinned down. They turn and run, and so do we.
Go, 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 go!
The air is filled with the sound of bullets whipping past our car as we flee back down the road. But by late afternoon, the rebels are on the advance again. This evening, they've taken control of a military base just 17 miles from the Libyan capital.
Rupert Wingfield-Hayes on the road from Zawiya. So what's the situation in other parts of Libya? Just before we came on air, I spoke to our correspondent in Libya's third city, Misrata, Jonathan Head, and asked him what the rebels were telling him there.
They're celebrating. I mean, for them, as far as they're concerned, the news they're getting from Tripoli is that it's all over. That's what they believe. There was an eruption of gunfire when that news first came through. People have been driving around and around town after their last session of prayers. Remember, it's still Ramadan here, honking their horns. There's a jubilant mood. Now, what their plans are in the next few hours will have to be worked out, because the forces that left Misrata were moving towards the capital, Tripoli, are still not close to that. They were held up by quite severe opposition about 30 kilometres outside of Misrata. So they've got a long way to go yet to join up with those forces who are now inside the capital. But they're assuming, I think, that that opposition will evaporate tomorrow once news gets back to Colonel Gaddafi's forces that it is all over in the capital. That's assuming that it is. That's a very big celebration. That's assuming that there isn't a counterattack by Colonel Gaddafi's forces. But if there isn't, and up to now it seems as though the resistance to the opposition forces has evaporated, if there's no counterattack, then the rebels have won, and that will generate, I think, an extraordinary movement of people from here, from Misrata to Tripoli, if nothing else, just to celebrate.
Now, Misrata was fought over very heavily. What are the rebels likely to do if indeed they do win?
Well, they've got a big job rebuilding here, a very big job. The city was badly damaged in a lot of areas. There was a huge human cost here as well. But I think there are bigger questions, really, that will have to be dealt with, which is, once all these forces have got over their celebrations, they will have to decide how they share power. They will have to agree on who makes sacrifices. And what you hear a lot in Misrata from people is they've made some of the biggest sacrifices. They certainly want a very big say in forming the next government. But there will be many other groups. There are lots of armed groups here who've been joined the rebels, all under their own commanders, who will be trying to stake their claim too. Managing that, managing law and order, and managing the urge to vengeance, which there will be against loyalists to Gaddafi, is going to be a very, very tough job. And we don't even know at this stage who will take over in Tripoli.
Well, indeed, after that sacrifice endured by the people of Misrata, what will be needed to stop revenge attacks?
Very good leadership. And we haven't seen that. At least we haven't seen very obvious leaders. There are people with quite broad experience in the Transitional National Council in Benghazi. You know, the leadership issue is still a very big question. And the whole business of building institutions in a country which has simply never had any normal government institutions. It's an immense job. And I think the problem is time will be against them. You will have large numbers of armed men who have fought with extraordinary courage, but have a great sense of entitlement, moving around, basically controlling the streets.
Jonathan Head in Misrata. Well, to assess the political fallout from these latest developments, we're joined by our defence and diplomatic correspondent, Jonathan Marcus. And Jonathan, how dangerous a moment is this?
Well, I think it's a very dangerous moment in many ways. We don't know yet whether the fighting in the Libyan capital is going to be protracted, or if indeed the government forces will simply melt away very quickly. If indeed this is the end of the regime, the problem, of course, is what replaces it. Now, plans have been made. There are even specially trained units of the rebel forces who are supposed to get into the city quickly and avoid the kind of vacuum of power, for example, that we saw in Iraq in the wake of the fall of Saddam Hussein. But, you know, there are key questions here. Is the National Transitional Council going to be up to it? Are they going to have sufficient help from outside, from the UN and other agencies? Is there going to be chaos or calm in the short term? Is there going to be reconciliation? Or are we going to see widespread reprisals?
Now, if the rebel advance is as successful as they say it is, what are the options facing Colonel Gaddafi?
Well, we don't, of course, know where Colonel Gaddafi is. It's interesting, the reports that at least one of his sons has been captured. We don't know if he is in hiding somewhere in the capital. We don't know. There have been reports suggesting that he might possibly be somewhere closer to the Algerian border. We simply don't know. If he survives, if he is captured, then one assumes that the new regime in due course will have to put him on trial. But I think that's getting several steps further than we are at present. There's still a lot of defiance, at least in rhetorical terms, coming from the Gaddafi regime. Whether it still has this much-vaunted military capacity, the 65,000 trained troops that it was claiming, well, presumably come daybreak tomorrow, we'll get a clearer sense of how the balance of forces lie.
And if and when the regime crumbles, what are the immediate tasks facing the rebels and Western governments?
Well, huge tasks. I mean, this is really the moment of truth. A huge degree of investment of faith, if you like, has been put in the National Transitional Council by NATO and the key Western governments who've backed the rebels almost from the outset. So will the rebel leaders be up to it? Will they be able to maintain order, to maintain calm? I mean, order and security are clearly the first priorities. Then there are huge humanitarian tasks. Problems of getting food in, getting medicines in. Then, of course, there's the rebuilding of the country in physical terms, but crucially, the building of new democratic political institutions within a year, maybe 18 months, so that there can be genuine free and fair elections. And if the Gaddafi regime does indeed fall, it's instructive, I think, to remember this is, in a sense, the only regime that has completely fallen since the Arab Spring started. And it's had a good deal of outside help, if you like, to push it on its way.
Jonathan Marcus, our defence and diplomatic correspondent. Many thanks. And if you'd like to keep up to date with these fast-moving events, you can go to our website, bbcnews.com, where we have a live page. And the very latest on there, we have a Tripoli resident telling the BBC, "We are celebrating victory. The people here are very happy. We want to thank NATO forces for helping us. This is the end of Gaddafi's regime." And that website address, once more, just in case you don't know it, bbcnews.com. First, time for a reminder of our main world news. The Libyan government has confirmed that Libyan rebels are fighting in the capital, Tripoli. The rebels say they've poured hundreds of fighters into the city from the west. The Libyan government spokesman, Musa Ibrahim, struck a defiant tone as he addressed foreign news correspondents in Tripoli about an hour ago.
"The fight is not over. We will fight. We have whole cities on our side. They are coming en masse from everywhere to protect Tripoli, to join the fight."
Colonel Gaddafi says he won't abandon Tripoli and he'll stay there until the end. He has appealed for help from tribes in surrounding towns. The rebels say they have captured his son, and we'll have continued coverage of all the latest events from Libya here on the BBC World Service. You're listening to the BBC World Service. I'm Oliver Conway with a special edition of World Briefing. Welcome to listeners who don't normally hear us at this time. We're bringing you the latest on the fast-moving events in Tripoli. And after ruling Libya with an iron fist for nearly 42 years, Colonel Gaddafi's grip on power appears to be hanging by a thread. Rebels have advanced into the capital, reportedly meeting little resistance and sparking celebrations. The head of the Rebel Transitional Council has said that Colonel Gaddafi's son, Saif, has been captured. We'll hear from our correspondent in Tripoli in a moment, but first to the events of the day. And a short while ago, Rabbi Dehan, a spokesman for an anti-Gaddafi rebel brigade called Red Saraya, which is based about 40 miles south of Tripoli, said they were on the verge of taking control of the capital.
"The liberation of Tripoli has already not only begun, it is almost 90% done, because the job being done by the people inside of Tripoli is even bigger than the job that is going to be done by the people coming from outside, which is us. So we are mainly concerned about the security of Tripoli after the system falls, but it's just a matter of hours as we see it."
A short while later, my colleague Julian Marshall spoke to a resident in the west of Tripoli, Hani, who'd witnessed the rebels come in.
"The sun down at the sunset, the beginning of the freedom fighters came into Tripoli from the western entrance of Tripoli. A lot of them and now is going in. Now they are they just reached the heart of Tripoli, and a lot of cheering and chanting. People is living a overwhelming moment now in Tripoli.
So you say that these rebels have passed through the western districts and have headed now towards the centre of Tripoli. You know that? You've seen that?
Yeah, I've seen them myself.
And was there any resistance at all from government forces?
Maybe just at the beginning, at the first half an hour, then they just disappear. No resistance at all now. No bloodshed. Nothing is happening now. They just they are like visitors now, not fighters.
Well, some residents of Tripoli fled the rebel advance. Others stayed on and vowed to fight for what they said was their country. One rebel, Hisham, said there would be a fight, but residents had nothing to fear in the long term.
The freedom seekers are all over Tripoli. They are in downtown, they are in Jajoura and everywhere, and they're all holding their places and they're all making sure that the city does not go into any problem or any revenge. And as I said, it's going to go to the police and it's going to go to the law enforcement, basically. So will be no problems in the city, hopefully.
However, others have a different view. And one person we spoke to earlier with the sound of gunfire in the background described the rebels as illegal groups and said they'd arrived at the eastern suburb of Tajura, supported by NATO.
There is a group who's a legal group. He is aware of the law and supporting by NATO. They have a cover from NATO. And NATO, they are bombing place, any place. And this kind of people, they forward. They have a good connection between NATO and this people. And they damage everything. They make Libya like a piece of cake, and everyone, he want to take his piece. Supporting by UK democracy and supporting by France democracy and United Nations, of course, our mother democracy.
A couple of hours ago, the Libyan government spokesman Musa Ibrahim addressed foreign news correspondents in Tripoli. He said 1,300 people had been killed over the past 24 hours there, turning, he said, a great city into hellfire, and he called for a ceasefire.
We are very resilient and still very strong, and we have still thousands and thousands of fighters who have no way to go but to fight. So this will increase and increase, and the death toll will increase because people are so scared of the revenge and hatred of the other side if they win. Each side actually is terrified of the other side. So let's suspend all military operations, all violence right now. NATO can order the rebels to stop immediately. We can order our troops and volunteers to stop immediately.
But where is Colonel Gaddafi himself? Well, in an audio statement broadcast on national television earlier in the day, he insisted he wouldn't abandon the capital and would stay until the end. And he called on Libyans to defend the city.
Rise up! Rise up! I'm with you now! I'm with you in Tripoli! No retreat! Never! We will fight until we liberate the last inch of land and prevent it from being occupied. Don't allow the occupiers to progress in your country. I'm with you in this battle, as I've always promised you. We will never surrender. We will win. We will win because we have been wronged. It's an attack on our country, security, safety, our comfort.
Well, we hope to go live to Tripoli in a moment, but a little earlier I spoke to our correspondent there, Matthew Price.
From the vantage point that I'm at, which is a hotel about 5 miles or so to the south of Green Square, there have been very, very heavy clashes, very heavy fighting during the evening. For the last 2 or 3 hours, it's actually been relatively quiet. A burst of gunfire just now, the occasional explosion, but broadly that fighting that seemed to be intensifying around the streets close to the hotel now seems to have dissipated. Outside the front of the hotel, we have a checkpoint. It's a pro-Gaddafi checkpoint. On one or two occasions every now and then, one of the guys manning that checkpoint, another bullet just fired now, one of the guys manning that checkpoint is firing sporadically down the road. But in the distance, we've seen some fireworks. I have no idea what those are. There are still the sound of distant explosions, the sound of distant gunfire echoing across this city, but it's very hard to gauge exactly what's going on. The government information minister here has said that in the last 12 hours or so, there's been a death toll of 1,300 or so, which would be astonishing and tragic if it is indeed the case.
Now, the rebels are claiming that they've captured the son of Colonel Gaddafi, Saif al-Islam. How significant would that be?
I think it would be hugely significant, but I also think at the moment it is simply a rebel claim. There's been a lot of misinformation from both sides in this conflict, and I think we need to be very careful about that. But if that rumour is true, and if another one is true, and again, unsubstantiated, but another report coming out from various places that suggests that Colonel Gaddafi's private bodyguard have laid down their weapons, if those sort of things are indeed happening, and there's a big if that I want to attach to that, but if they are happening, then I think it's clear that the end is nearing.
And what are the rebels facing in Tripoli in terms of government troops and armaments?
Well, now, this is where we're going to get into a couple of possible scenarios, I think. At the moment, the general reporting seems to be that the rebels are moving into certainly the outer districts of Tripoli unopposed. And if that continues, then they are suggesting part of Tripoli to Green Square at some point, in the next few hours, possibly even. If that was to happen, then I think it would either demonstrate that Colonel Gaddafi's troops have put down their weapons, or it would demonstrate that they might be about to be encircled, the rebels that is, and that the government forces could be on the verge of doing what they've done in other cities, surrounding them, and or those rebel elements that get into parts of the city, and firing at them from sniper positions and using mortars on them. Now, the official government figures that I was told today by Musa Ibrahim, the government spokesman, is that there are 65,000 professional, trained, pro-Gaddafi troops in Tripoli at the moment, ready to defend the city. In addition to that, there are volunteers, the rebels call them mercenaries, who are also ready to take up weapons in order to defend the city. And the kind of scenario that Musa Ibrahim and other government officials are painting is one in which there's such a number of people in this city, tens of thousands, who are so intimately involved with the Gaddafi regime, who have been part of the system for so long, that they may well feel they have nothing to lose but to take up a weapon to defend themselves.
Matthew Price in Tripoli. For a closer look at what's going on in the Libyan capital, I talked to another BBC correspondent there who we're not naming for her own safety. And first, I asked her what the latest was in her area.
It's been very quiet for the past 2 to 3 hours. This sporadic sound of gunfire, mostly celebratory from what I can gather. Earlier throughout the day, there was a lot of shooting and clashes on the main road just ahead of us, like a minute's walk away. But basically, it was between residents and security forces that were stationed at the top end of the road that were shooting in. And eventually, they seemed to have warded them off and secured the entire district by setting up blockades and manning them. It's a similar scenario across the capital, from what I know, speaking to reliable sources in Tripoli. It's a scenario they all describe. They tell me that we have consolidated our grip on the district that we live in, that we're manning it, we've blocked it, no one can come in without our permission.
These are the government forces you're speaking about. What is their strength?
Well, it's difficult to say at the moment. We've certainly not seen the kind of resistance we were expecting, or what residents here certainly were expecting for the past 5 months. There was a lot of fear in the city after the security clampdown when they initially came out in protest on February the 20th. People were expecting the worst. From what I've heard from some reliable sources that have left their, what they call their secure districts, they say they've driven outside of where they live and they have seen no sign whatsoever of government brigade forces. So from what they gather is that they have, as they put it, run away, but they haven't seen any sign of them. But at the same time, they are quite skeptical at the moment because they somehow feel that perhaps it's come too easily. Is there some great plan for these military forces to attack them?
Is it possible to say what the mood is across Tripoli? Is it apprehensive or, as you say, celebratory?
To be fair, it is a mixture of both. They are celebrating. For almost 2 hours earlier tonight, all I could hear were people in our neighbourhood coming out, people that were so scared to talk in the past 5-6 months, who even at some point pretended to be, you know, hardline Gaddafi supporters, had the green flag waving atop their homes. And then all of a sudden, and you know, just overnight, we saw everyone on the streets with their children and their chanting, "We're free, we're free."
And briefly, what is Libyan state TV reporting tonight?
Well, we haven't really seen much of anything on state television. They do occasionally bring audio messages from Colonel Gaddafi. We know he hasn't appeared himself on television for quite some months now. But we've seen recorded programs being played out on all of their channels, the same program. So we're not sure what's going on, although I have heard earlier from some reliable sources that there are rebels surrounding one of the state broadcaster's headquarters downtown, and they say they're negotiating with the employees inside to hand over the studios there, although we also know that much of the broadcasts being made by state television are also from Rixos Hotel, where all the foreign journalists are based.
And that was our correspondent in Tripoli. And just to bring you up to date with a number of developments, some reports are now saying that there are attempts to jam state television in Libya. There are also television pictures being shown of rebels in Green Square in the centre of Tripoli, crowds there celebrating. Our correspondent in the Tripoli hotel used by the Libyan government for its news conferences say the rebels are trying to take control of that building. And one other development, reports from the International Criminal Court. It is saying that Saif al-Islam, Colonel Gaddafi's son, has indeed been detained. An arrest warrant for Saif al-Islam was issued on June the 27th. And as I say, we hope to go back to Tripoli for more as soon as we can. But for a look at the political fallout from the latest development, I spoke a little earlier to our defence and diplomatic correspondent Jonathan Marcus, and I asked him how dangerous a time this was for Libya.
Well, I think it's a very dangerous moment in many ways. We don't know yet whether the fighting in the Libyan capital is going to be protracted, or if indeed the government forces will simply melt away very quickly. If indeed this is the end of the regime, the problem, of course, is what replaces it. Now, plans have been made. There are even specially trained units of the rebel forces who are supposed to get into the city quickly and avoid the kind of vacuum of power, for example, that we saw in Iraq in the wake of the fall of Saddam Hussein. But, you know, there are key questions here. Is the National Transitional Council going to be up to it? Are they going to have sufficient help from outside, from the UN and other agencies? Is there going to be chaos or calm in the short term? Is there going to be reconciliation, or are we going to see widespread reprisals?
Now, if the rebel advance is as successful as they say it is, what are the options facing Colonel Gaddafi?
Well, we don't, of course, know where Colonel Gaddafi is. It's interesting, the reports that at least one of his sons has been captured. We don't know if he is in hiding somewhere in the capital. We don't know. There have been reports suggesting that he might possibly be somewhere closer to the Algerian border. We simply don't know. If he survives, if he is captured, then one assumes that the new regime in due course will have to put him on trial. But I think that's getting several steps further than we are at present. There's still a lot of defiance, at least in rhetorical terms, coming from the Gaddafi regime. Whether it still has this much vaunted military capacity, the 65,000 trained troops that it was claiming, well, presumably come daybreak tomorrow, we'll get a clearer sense of how the balance of forces lie.
And if and when the regime crumbles, what are the immediate tasks facing the rebels and Western governments?
Well, huge tasks. I mean, this is really the moment of truth. A huge degree of investment of faith, if you like, has been put in the National Transitional Council by NATO and the key Western governments who've backed the rebels almost from the outset. So will the rebel leaders be up to it? Will they be able to maintain order, to maintain calm? I mean, order and security are clearly the first priorities. Then there are huge humanitarian tasks. Problems of getting food in, getting medicines in. Then, of course, there's the rebuilding of the country in physical terms, but crucially, the building of new democratic political institutions within a year, maybe 18 months, so that there can be genuine free and fair elections. And if the Gaddafi regime does indeed fall, it's instructive, I think, to remember this is, in a sense, the only regime that has completely fallen since the Arab Spring started. And it's had a good deal of outside help, if you like, to push it on its way.
Jonathan Marcus, well, we can return to our correspondent in Tripoli, Matthew Price. And Matthew, since we last spoke, there have been a number of developments. Let's start with Green Square, where there are pictures of celebrations and apparently rebels in that central location. What does that mean for the battle for Tripoli?
I suppose what it means for Green Square is that it will no longer be called Green Square. But it's been seen as the loyalist centre, if you like, for Colonel Gaddafi's supporters for some time now. It's been the place where, over the 6 months since his uprising began, his supporters have congregated. The green flags of Colonel Gaddafi's Libya have been hung around the square. His portrait is on the city walls there. What does it mean that it has, it seems, this evening been liberated? I think this is an astonishing moment. I think this has happened far, far more quickly than anyone imagined. When the town of Zawiya to the west of Tripoli fell over the last 7 days, I think there was a sense that the rebels surely would then have to regroup, rest, get some more equipment in. And yet all of a sudden, here we are, just 24 hours after we first started hearing the sounds of heavy gunfire and disturbances here in Tripoli, an internal uprising, if you like, which is how the rebels always said they would do it. Start with that, then move troops into the city and take the city. But I do want to add at the same time that while I'm talking to you, there is a huge battle going on outside the place I'm talking to you from. There's no sense of liberation here whatsoever. I imagine the people of Tripoli living in this district where I am are very, very, very scared at the moment, cowering in their houses, families simply wondering what is going on with the battle for this city. There's a lot of small arms fire, machine gun fire, and then loud explosions. And so it is clear, certainly from my vantage point, where I'm talking to you from, that there are still battles going on between pro and anti forces here.
Meanwhile, the International Criminal Court prosecutor, that's Luis Moreno Ocampo, has been telling news agencies that Saif Gaddafi has indeed been detained by rebel special forces. What do you make of that?
That is a huge blow. It would seem to be confirmation of these reports that were put out by the opposition several hours ago, but official confirmation. It would seem to be that Colonel Gaddafi's son has been taken into custody, and that is a massive blow, both for Colonel Gaddafi on a personal level, of course, but also for supporters of Colonel Gaddafi, for those who have invested so much in his four decades, almost 42 years in September, of course, of power here, because it surely is a sign that all this is over. Certainly, the war to remove Colonel Gaddafi from power surely is now coming to an end. And that is remarkable, because I can tell you, sitting here in Tripoli over the last week or so after the rebel advance on Zawira, there were all sorts of scenarios going around in people's minds. Nobody quite knew whether the rebels could do this. Well, they are now in Tripoli. It would look like Colonel Gaddafi's days are numbered. I don't want to make this, though, sound as if this is the end of the story, because there are significant concerns among experts who know this country well, diplomats who have worked in this country for a long time, significant concerns about what happens after Colonel Gaddafi. There are big tribal divisions in this country which cut through many sectors of life, and the big fear is that after the glue that perhaps has been holding the opposition forces together, the aim of removing Colonel Gaddafi from power, assuming that is what we're seeing here tonight in Tripoli, once that glue has gone, there is a fear that those tribal divisions could come to the surface and could provoke a prolonged conflict.
And briefly, we've heard defiance from Colonel Gaddafi and his spokesman, Musa Ibrahim. What's the mood among those government loyalists that you've seen around where you are?
I haven't seen Musa Ibrahim for a couple of hours now, but when I last saw him, his tone was not of defiance, actually. His tone, he was calling for a ceasefire. He was saying it's time to have a ceasefire. He was saying that the government has been saying that for some time. And he was also actually expressing those fears that if as he sees it, NATO allows the rebels to advance into Tripoli, because it is Musa Ibrahim and the government of Colonel Gaddafi's belief that NATO's airstrikes, without NATO's airstrikes, the rebels would not have been able to make the advances they have in this conflict. Matthew. And I have to say, I have some sympathy with that view.
Matthew Price in Tripoli. We are out of time. Many thanks.